Congregation, the text for this morning's our sermon is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, the verses 40 through 52 about Lord Jesus, the 12-year-old Lord Jesus in the temple. Let me only read verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So far, Jesus' first journey to the temple. Jesus' first recorded journey to the temple. Three thoughts. Leaving Nazareth. See him going to Jerusalem. Secondly, busy in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus was busy with things. His Father's business was there. And in the third place, submissively returning to Nazareth. So Jesus' first recorded journey to the temple, leaving Nazareth, busy in Jerusalem, and submissively returning to Nazareth. Congregation, young friends, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And after being a while in Egypt, they returned and they were living in Nazareth, in the north of Israel, close to the lake. Nazareth. And the Lord Jesus grew up there. He went to school there, so to speak, and he associated with his cousins and aunts and uncles and family and friends and maybe siblings, and we almost know nothing about that time. And you know, maybe that's good. Because why would we like to know? Why would you like to have a biography? Just to be entertained? Just to be curious? There's so many biographies about the life of important people, and they just tell all the details, and sometimes boring. But you know, here, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit only reveal some things that are important and meaningful and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that should be enough. We don't need to know more. So, the Lord Jesus is by now 12 years old, and we don't know what he has done, and we don't know what he has said. We don't know anything. So now is the first time that we hear something about him in 12 years. And the first time that we are going to listen to what's coming out of his mouth. You've never heard him say anything yet. Are you curious? Well, the first words of Jesus are, you know, when children are small, babies, the first words, we know those first words. But do you know the first words of the Lord Jesus revealed in the Bible? So Joseph and Mary raised him, and they always attended once a year the Passover feast in Jerusalem. So Joseph and Mary traveled from Nazareth to Jerusalem, right, to Bethlehem before. It's almost the same route, from north to south. It's kind of a 3 or 4 days journey, walking. So they did it every year together. And also this time, and the Lord Jesus went with them. So the Passover feast. Do you remember, children, at home, what the Passover feast was about? Do you remember from school and from home and the Bible stories your parents told you? Passover, what was it? What does Passover mean? Well, the people of Israel were in Egypt, right? In Egypt. And they had to work hard, were slaves, and they cried to the Lord and had a desire to be delivered. And the Lord delivered them. Remember with those 10 plagues? Pharaoh hardening his heart, but he had to let the people go. And then the 10th plague, they had to separate a lamb, a spotless lamb, and keep it separate. And then they had to kill it and catch the blood in a bowl. See that? The father having a bowl of blood in his hand and kind of a brush or something, a cloth, and he went to the front door and just painted the doorpost red so that the angel of destruction who would come by would say, oh, there is blood on the doorpost. I'm not going inside. I'm not going to slay anyone. I'm just going to the next house. And so in the houses of all the Egyptians, the firstborn was killed. And in the house of the Israelites, nobody was. As long as they were hiding behind the blood, if they did not have blood on the doorpost, the angel of destruction would come in as well. So the Passover feast was celebrated with lamb's meat, right? And with bitter sauce, and also with unleavened bread. So that's what we're going to do. They went for the Passover to Jerusalem. And who was thinking? Who was realizing that this, let me say in reverence, that this boy, this 12-year-old boy, was the lamb? Who thought about that? He would be the lamb. I think even Joseph and Mary didn't think about it. But he did. He knew that he was the lamb. He was old enough to know that even in his human nature, and he had also divine nature, and so many were blind for the Lord Jesus. He was kind of hiding still, right? He was not saying much. He was not revealing himself. He took his time. It was not the time yet to be slain. But he was that spotless lamb. And he was so close to the people. And he went when they traveled to Jerusalem. Nobody thought of him. Nobody paid special attention to him. And is that not kind of still, in a sense, true? That the Lord Jesus comes by in the Bible stories, in the sermons, and we don't even pay attention to him. We don't need him. Our heart does not cry out unto him. How foolish we are. But you know, I see Joseph and Mary traveling together and with their son to Jerusalem. Faithful parents. And it's quite something, because that altogether takes 2 weeks or so. 7 days in Jerusalem, and the traveling 3 days, going there and 3 days back. So could they miss that time? Did he have enough work? Did he have enough money to do that? To just take 2 weeks off every year? And not for a vacation with yourself, but just traveling and going to the Lord's temple, really? You know, they were not very affluent, we know that. But they did it. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be in God's house, in the temple. And the temple was not just a church building and not a synagogue. No, no. It was the house of God, really. Really the house of God. The Lord really dwell there 24/7, all the times, above the cherubims. So they traveled in groups, probably for safety reasons. The women first, and the men and the young boys following. What a beautiful family. Husband, wife, son, going to, let me say, church. Beautiful to see. that faithfulness, that longing. They take the young Jesus along. So we know that Joseph and Mary are God's people, and that they're compatible, and that they together are seeking the Lord together. They're on the same page. They are not only partners in worldly things, but they are assisting one another in all things of this life and the better. You know, so often young people think of a partner, of a young man, of a young woman, and they wonder, do we like each other? Do we love each other? Do you have the same interests? Always also ask, are you on the same page in spiritual things? Because it's quite something to be married, and you receive another responsibility to also care for the other one's soul. So the soul of your husband, the soul of your wife is also your responsibility. Not only the worldly welfare, but the spiritual welfare. Is it in our mind? Maybe you're married. Maybe you're married for some years. You love your wife. You love your husband. I hope you do. But what about their soul? Do you ever pray for him? Do you pray for her conversion, her salvation, and guidance, and the opening of the Bible? Do you go to church? Lord, open her eyes. Lord, open his eyes. Open the heart. Do you pray for one another? Do you see together? Do you ever say to your husband, read it? Look at that. Think of this. So Joseph and Mary were assisting one another. You know, marriage can really help and benefit us, but also can ruin things. Marriage, husbands and wives are continually doing either good or harm to one another's soul. You are doing either good or harm to one another's soul. It can help upwards and downwards. So let me give you a few examples from the Bible of harmonious, God-fearing couples. Who was the father of Samuel? Remember that, children? Who was the father of Samuel? Right, Elkanah. And what was Samuel's mother's name? Hannah, right. So they were both God-fearing people. And let me read it to you. 1 Samuel 1:21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice. Same thing. And his vow. But Hannah went not up. For she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, the older. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. So I'm not going along this time, but someday I will go along and leave him there. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So he agreed. He agreed to let his son go back to Jerusalem, or to Shiloh in this case. He said, what seemeth thee good? They agreed on those things. The Lord established his word. Amazing. So it did not drive them apart, but it brought them closer. And consider Leah and Rachel after Jacob had decided to go home. They also agreed. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst thy pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from this land, return unto the land of thy kindred, the Lord said. Return, go back. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So, those ladies, they said, what God has said, let's do it. So they're encouraging him. They said to their husband, do it. So Joseph and Mary went to the temple together. And to draw from that this conclusion that we should go to church together. Together. Read the Bible together. Talk about spiritual matters together. But also speak to the children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know that text by now. But also Deuteronomy 11, and ye shall teach them. Your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way in the car, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, it should be an integral part of the family life to raise them in the fear of the Lord. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, David said. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But you know, a question also for the young friends. Did the Lord Jesus need that? Did he really need a God-fearing upbringing? Because he was perfect. He had no sin. So did Joseph have to teach him anything? Because he knew. He was God, right? And he was sinless and innocent. So why would his parents have to tell him anything? Now look at verse 40 of Luke 2. Verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong, became stronger in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And also look at verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. He increased in favor with God and man. So when you look at those verses, 42 and 52, you see something of what happened to his human nature. The Lord Jesus' human nature was human. He was a little baby, and he grew up. He gained weight. He started to look around. He took his first steps. He said his first words. So he waxed stronger. He grew. The child grew. Not only his arms, also his brain grew. And in his human nature, something was increasing. He increased in knowledge. He became wiser. In his human nature, he became wiser. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. But he developed, though, like all children do. So he grew physically. But he started to memorize scripture verses. He, at first, did not ask questions. At first, he did not understand things, which was all right, because he was a child in his human nature. But slowly but certainly, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So it became even more amazing when he got older. He never did anything wrong, and he was never rambunctious, and his parents never had to say things twice to him. So he became equal to his brethren in all things except sin. What a precious truth. What a precious youth. You know, Timothy was older than 12. But I read about him, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, I know for sure the Lord Jesus was like that. He was an example. In word, in conversation, in charity, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the older he became, the more things he did right. He never did anything wrong, but the more things he did right. And the people noticed that. And therefore, not only God the Father looked upon his human nature and saw him developing and was pleased with him, also the neighbors saw that. So, congregation and friends, we need a Savior. We need him. 12 years old, we need a Savior. Maybe you're 12 years old. Maybe you're younger. Maybe you're somewhat older. But we need our sins to be forgiven because we are not like him. We lost that favor of God. We are not God's favor repeated by nature. So we can't live without him. I would say never go to God without him. What do you mean? In prayers. When you pray to God, never go to God by yourself. Like the brothers of Joseph took Benjamin along to the Pharaoh. Because they knew if he come to the under king of Egypt without him, it's not going to work. He was get so angry with us because we promised him to take our younger brother along. So never go to God without Christ. Without Benjamin, without the Savior. Or may we hide under him. May we put him on, the Bible says, as a garment, that his righteousness and his favor and his wisdom and everything else may be ours. May we be dressed with him. So that we look like him. And God can also have favor with us. So let's go to the second part. Busy in Jerusalem. So after 3 or 4 days, the caravans with pilgrims were arriving in Jerusalem. And they were tired, of course. And I don't know where they stayed. They probably stayed in the tent. And they must have been attending the services and maybe involved in sacrifices and assemblies. And maybe they ate the Passover. I trust they ate the Passover there as well. And nobody again realized that that lamb was with them. We talked about that already. And Christ himself at this time, in his human nature, he knew. In his divine nature, of course, but now in his human nature, he knew. He was a very special child. He knew that now himself. And you know the story when they returned. He was kind of lost. I mean, they were not able to find him. Mary thought he was with him, and he thought he was with her. So after a day or so, they had to go back to Jerusalem to seek him. So why would he go back? Well, they had to find the child Jesus. Why? Did Mary not understand right now that he had to remain there and to be there as long as he desired in his father's house? No, she did not understand. Mary, the mother of Jesus, did not understand much yet. So they went back. And where was he? They looked 3 days. Here, there. Why did they not go straight to the temple? So if you go back, you go straight to the temple. They did not do that, apparently. Because Joseph and Mary were kind of blind and limited in their understanding. They're God's people, but limited understanding. And that's still possible today, that people are God's people and they love the Lord Jesus, but so limited, so little. They love him, they need him, but so little insight into who he is. Rather ignorant, sincere, but weak in knowledge and in faith. Of course, Jesus was loved, and he loved it himself to be in his Father's house. Because his home, the Lord Jesus' home, was this temple. He just loved to be there. You know, like we have sung from Psalm 84, that longing, that fainting, that desire for his Father's house. He loved his Father above everything. She had a heartfelt desire to go to the temple, to his Father's house. He felt home, way more home in the temple than he felt home in Jerusalem. Like it is possible that someone feels more home in church than at home. Really. You know, some young people, they prefer to be in church or being home. For them, when the Lord works, it may be church every day. So he was sitting there in the midst of the doctors. I looked up their doctors, and it is actually the same as teachers. So only once or twice it's translated as doctors. But it just means people educated and teachers in the law, with expertise in the law. So in other places, they are called teachers and masters, the didaskalos. And just look at that. The Lord Jesus sitting there and listening, paying real attention. This really interested him. He absorbed every word in his human nature. And he processed this. He understood, and he understood more than before. He was really benefiting, in a sense, of what he heard. And he received more insight into the mysteries of the Word of God. And there were things he did not agree with. He also asked questions. Not to corner them, not to argue with them, but just real questions. And they answered questions. And he followed all that. And he also spoke himself. He was an evangelist at 12 years old. He explained biblical things to his teachers. And they were genuine, and they were astonished. And they said things like that. How old is he? Where is he from? Is he from Nazareth? 12 years old? Amazing. I can't believe it. The answers, the questions, the teaching. So the people were astonished. And still they had no idea who they were talking to and listening to. They were talking to the Savior and did not understand that he was the Savior. They were not really interested in the Savior either. Many of them were not. So again, you see how close people can be to Jesus without understanding a word. So, even if he would have told them, I am the Savior, they would not have believed him. Now suppose, young friends, suppose your parents could not find you. And where would they have to look? What would come to their minds? Oh, I think we should go. And she is probably on that evening. But where would they look for you? Knowing who you are, what type of person you are. Because they know what type of person you are. Maybe they trust you. Maybe they don't trust you. Maybe they don't trust you and they should trust you. Maybe they trust you and they shouldn't. So would they say, oh, he's probably with a friend. Or he's probably with his grandparents. Or he's probably at the river. Or he's probably partying. Or he's probably reading a book. Or he's what do you think your parents would say? Where is he? Oh, I think... So the Lord Jesus said to his parents, because they were concerned about him, son, we were worried. We were sorrowing. Thy father and I have been sorrowing. And he said, wist thou not? Why seekest thou me? Wist thou not that I must be in my father's business? By the way, inserting this, parents, do you know where they are? Do you want to know? You know, some parents, they don't even care. And they say, okay, you're not coming home tonight? See you tomorrow. Where are you going? To so-and-so. You believe it? You're sure? So those parents, Joseph and Mary, were really caring parents. So if you're a caring person, you want to know where your children are and if they are really there where they say they are. So the young Joseph was resisting the wife of Potiphar, want to sin? Would he sin against his master and do such evil to God? What do you think of the young Samuel? And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Samuel, in God's favor. Joash. So I would say, young friends, 12 years old, younger, older, see something better than this world. You know, everything here on earth leaves is empty. After the initial excitement, it leaves you empty. It does not satisfy in the end. Alcohol, drugs, sex, money, status, you name it. It's not going really to help you. It's not making you any happier. It's impossible. So be honest. Has your heart ever leaped for joy? Have you ever been filled up with God's favor? You may have returned from the hospital or so, you may have been very happy, but you know, this is nothing compared to what God still revealed in his service. So he said, "Wist thou not that I must be about my father's business?" Must. It says must. Because there was no other way. Because he had promised that. Because he had to pay the price. And salvation was not possible in any different form. So he wanted to be in his father's business. Busy in a spiritual sense. So what an example. But not only an example. He is the Savior. He is in his father's business. Really interested. Because we are not. And in order to make sinners really interested, he was so interested. Because he is the substitute, he's the Savior. He paid the price for his church. And he also paid the price of unbelief. And he will save a people for himself. And then people will begin to resemble him. A little bit. Not completely. But sinners begin to resemble a little bit Lord Jesus. And show that same image. Being busy with the things of the Father. And then there are places you don't want to go. There are books you don't want to read. Things you don't want to see. And then there is a different spirit in you. The favor of God brings us to the third thought. First we sing. Congregation, look at the last three verses of this chapter. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Joseph and Mary did not understand this. See, God's people, limited understanding, loving the Lord Jesus, deeply caring for him, going to the temple together, but yet not understanding it. And he went down with them. So he didn't say, "I stay in the temple." It was not his time yet. Also not a place to live. So he went with them north again. That same route again. Back home to Nazareth. So he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. I had to really think about that. Foolish parents. They don't have a clue. And you obey them? The Lord Jesus had way more insight, way more faith. He qualified. He was the Savior. Why would he have to obey his parents? Because he knew it way better. But you know, although he knew it way better, he obeyed him. What about this sentence I found? You are never too smart never too skilled, never too experienced, never too spiritual for God-given submission. You're never too smart for that submission. You're never too skilled for that submission. You're never too experienced for that submission. You're never too spiritual for that submission. You know, that's humbling, isn't it? To Lord Jesus. He was willing to just bow his head and to go along and to be submissive in all those minor things as long as it was not against the will of his Father. He just obeyed, even if it was not fair. Even if it was dumb. So, we read in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Why? Because they are good and smart. No. As it's fit in the Lord. And Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud to give a grace to the humble. So the Lord Jesus was submissive, but not automatically. It was an effort. The Lord Jesus did not just automatically fulfill the law. He learned it. He learned it, as the Bible says. He learned it. And that's a blessing. The Lord Jesus did that himself consciously, willingly, for his Father's glory. So we all may have to think about our own youth. You know, I think back, you think back, maybe you're young yet. You know, what does the Bible say about youth? Genesis 8, first time I think we read about youth. Genesis 8. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake after the flood, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imagination of man's heart, evil from his youth. It sits deep. Ecclesiastes 11, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So she did not understand it, but she remembered. She stored it. She didn't think about it too much, but she remembered. And later on the cross, at the cross, she remembered. You know, Jacob was puzzled by the dreams of Joseph. But he observed them. Daniel received visions of the four beasts and the ram and kept the matter in his heart. So there are things God's children remember, and they are not able to give it a place yet. So there's certain Bible texts and sermons, they kind of remember them, but they just don't get it yet. In the Lord's time, they will receive more. And Jesus increased in wisdom. And so God's people also increase in wisdom in a different sense, very different sense, but yet they increase in wisdom and knowledge and love and holiness, I hope, and in favor with God and man. So the Lord Jesus, in his life, gained, deserved God's favor. And the longer he lived, the more favor he got, because he did not only come to die and to suffer and to be an example. Well, I mean, he also was there to be an example. He had the favor of God and man. So, congregation, younger ones, older ones, what really counts is God's favor. Nicely also the favor of man, if it's in a God-fearing way, but the favor of God. With the favor of God, you can handle anything. That's the same thing as we talked about in the sermon on Isaiah 9. Prince of Peace, if you may have that peace that passes all understanding, the favor of God. With the favor of God, you can handle things and you can continue also in the new year. Seek the Lord. Amen.